See, to take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 38 through 48 together. We're going to read this passage responsively. I know it's a little bit longer passage than normal, but it's important. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through verse 48. Matthew 5, verses 38 through 48, and let's read this passage responsively. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye should resist not evil, but whatsoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And let's finish on verse 48 together. Ready? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, please help us tonight. Help us as we look at a truth that's awfully contrary to what we think and what our flesh tells us to do. Help us to take heed to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I would like to take each and every person in this room and help us take a big step up in our Christianity. This is not a truth that you're going to practice casually. This is not a truth that will come naturally to you, I promise. Matter of fact, I'll say this. When you practice this truth, though, it will become a great day in your life. And may I say this as well. Just because you practice it once doesn't mean you're going to do it the rest of your life unless you do it on purpose. This is one of those lessons that you're going to have to learn and keep doing and keep doing and keep doing and keep doing. This is not a sermon that you're going to want to practice, but God is wanting us to practice it. I preach on behalf of God to us tonight, and let me start by saying this. Our sin causes us as human beings to make ourselves think we think like God. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt be like gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, we then become the determiner of what good and evil is instead of God. We determine what is good based on how we perceive it, not how God perceives it. I want you to notice something. God says here, he reigns on the just and the unjust. He's good to those that love him. He's good to those that hate him. That's not how we think. He says, love your enemies, not just your brethren. In being our own God, we become more like the devil. Preach. That's harsh. Yes. But it's true. Yes, Isaiah 14. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. Well, when we do our way and we determine what is right and wrong based on what we think, we become more like the devil than God, even though it might be related to the Bible. I want you to notice something. The devil used God's word when he tempted Adam and Eve. Everybody doing okay? Jesus tells us here that we humans naturally want to respond in our flesh. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, if I walked up to Brother Stoltz and I poked him in the eye,
he's going to poke me back in the eye, probably not with his finger, but with his fist. Say why? Because that's what man naturally does. We naturally want to respond by what was done to us. Now,
follow me carefully here. That is why God tells us in the book of Romans, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay."
Yes.
We are not to, as Christians, execute vengeance on anyone for any reason.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, it goes true in a home, it goes true in a church, it goes true in school, goes true at work, goes true with saved people as well as lost people. Sinful flesh wants to react to people who hurt them, to people who violate them, to people who oppose them in a way that was done to them, or worse, so that they don't do it again. Today's society thrives on this as we react instead of acting. You got liberals who think it's okay for Adam and Steve to use whatever bathroom they want. Well, I hate to tell you, it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before some man walks into a woman's bathroom if my wife's in there. I'll block the stupid door. When she and I travel, I make sure I'm watching what goes in and out while she's in the washroom. Then I'll take my turn. Not in the same one either. Knew where you all were headed with that one. Now, wait a minute.
Y'all are bad.
Now, if you listen to truth the way you listen to my mistakes, you'd be a whole lot better off. Now, you have to understand something. Isn't it amazing that society can reason within themselves that sodomy's okay? Isn't it strange that, transgenderism. We've got to accept it. Why? Less than 0.01% of our nation's population is what they consider transgender, in all the hype over it. Your former president made a law to the public school systems and colleges and sent out a letter, and that's all it was. It's not even a law. But because he oversaw, as the chief executive, the Department of Education, he was able to do it through the educational system. And the NFL should be fired for canceling football games if that state doesn't follow the transgender policy. Good night. We're going to have guys in pink uniforms and powder puffs out there before too long, and they're going to wiggle when they walk. Lord have mercy. Drives me insane. I'll be honest with you. I'm to the point where I watch very little professional sports. It bothers me. You see, Jesus tells us that he wants us and he expects us to act differently than the world.
Yes, sir.
He wants us to act differently than when we reacted in our flesh. Now, I promise you, it's not how you're going to want to act. Let me give you some illustrations. We'll look at the Bible here in a second. He tells us if someone sues you in court, give them more than they ask for. He said if your brother somebody takes you to court and they sue you for your cloak or your coat, give them your cloak also. In other words, if they take your coat, give them your shirt too. Jesus said that's how we're supposed to respond. He said in verse 39, he says, if somebody hits you on the cheek, you're supposed to turn the other cheek to them, not poke them in the cheek. Everybody doing okay? Say, well, preacher, what do you do? He didn't say what to do if he hits you in both cheeks. Then it's time to cut loose, amen? Because I'm running out of cheeks at that point in time. Verse 41, if someone forced you to help, then you ought to do more than they ask. Someone put you in an awkward situation where you're forced to help, God says, do more than what was asked of you to do. Now, here's what happens most often in our lives We react to opposition the same way someone hurt us. Well, you're going to sue me. I'm going to sue you first. Well, that's big boy stuff, isn't it? You took my toy. I'll take your toy. Isn't that how it is? You'd spank your children for doing that in the sandbox. You see, God does not want us to become like our attackers. He doesn't want us to become like our opposition. He wants us to step above and not be like our opposition. I called the sermon tonight, Don't Be Like Your Enemies. I've used this illustration before. I'll use it again briefly.
Oh, while I worked on staff with Brother Hiles, we faced a little battle. Let me rephrase that. We faced a battle. It wasn't a little one. There were things being published in the Chicago Tribune and all the local newspapers, and it was a mess, and there was just an ugly battle going on. In the midst of that, there was another sub-battle that went on, and I was sitting in a staff meeting one day on a Saturday night, just us men. Brother Hiles, matter of fact, it was on a Sunday morning. He met with us on a Sunday morning after church. He said, I want nobody at my door. I want all of my staff men right there, my assistant pastoral staff. You know who you are, my Saturday night staff men. He said, you have 2 minutes after church is there, and if you're not, you're fired. Okay, we were walking out during the closing prayer. Let me tell you, we were hoofing it. I mean, he was serious. He sat us down. He explained there was a battle that we were about to enter. He said, fellas, I know what your first reaction is, that you want to defend me, but I do not need you defending me. He said, I do not want you defending me. I don't need you to defend me. He said, I expect you to react the same way I act. He said, this is how I want every individual in this room to respond as things take place. He said, people around the country are going to be upset with you for not defending me. I don't care. He said, I expect you to act the way I'm going to act through this. And he said, if you don't, you can leave. He said, does everybody understand where I'm at? Well, I'm not real smart, but I understood what he meant. We entered the battle. Sure enough, about 10 days later, my phone rang. A pastor from a distant state called me. He was chewing up one side and down another. He said, what's the matter with you guys? How come you're not in force going against these people? How come you're not standing up for brother? I mean, he just raked me over the coals. I said, sir, I said, because I'm responding the way my preacher told me to respond. He didn't cuss me, but it was pretty close. I said, sir, why don't you do this? Why don't you call Brother Hiles and ask him that question? He said, it's your job. I said, no, it may be your job, but my job is on the line if I act the way you're acting. I said, and I work for the man. If you don't like it, you can talk to him. And I hung up. You say, what was that? I decided I was going to act the way he told me to act because that's what he expected of me. Here in Matthew chapter 5, we have a similar situation. You have Jesus telling Christian people, this is how I expect you to react in certain situations. And I don't want you to act like the world acts. I don't want you to act as your flesh reacts. But I want you to act the way I would react. Ooh. That's big boy Christianity. That's big girl Christianity. That's not this is graduate work. This isn't entry level. This is what God was telling us here. Now, the flesh and the spirit are in opposition against each other. Yes, constantly. Can I tell you something? Just because you've been saved a while doesn't mean you don't fight your flesh. Matter of fact, you probably fight it more. The longer you're saved, the more the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other.
If you go to the book of Romans, you find a dissertation in there that Paul penned that says, the things that I would, that I don't do, and the things I would do, that I don't. And there's a war going on in me, and the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I should do, I don't do, and things I'm supposed to do, I don't do, but the things I want to do that I'm not supposed to do, I do. It goes through this whole long list of things. Man, does it sound like the way we live, doesn't it? Now, God tells us here, too often we react to people or situations the way our flesh wants us to and not the way God wants us to. We often end up becoming like our enemy. We often become like our opposer. We often become like that which is coming against us in how we react instead of how we are supposed to act. God doesn't want this. He wants us to act as he does. And I'm going to give you half a dozen things here. This is not a real good outline, but I didn't know how else to do it. I got seven statements I'm going to give you, and then two or three quick things after that that are related, and then we'll be done here. Number one, love your enemies, don't hate them. Love your enemies, don't hate them. The Bible says here that we are to love our enemy. Do good to them that despitefully use and persecute you. Can I tell you something? Your enemy doesn't love you. But God says we're supposed to love our enemies. I am not a great example of this. I had a person that would probably be considered my enemy. They needed something recently. They actually contacted me. They said, can you help me? I did. Probably saved them $10,000, $20,000. I helped them. Now, I'm not going to go have lunch with them, or I'm not even going to go to Dunkin' Donut and sit down and have a coffee with them. But I was able to work it out to save them some wherewithal. Say why? Because I'm supposed to do that, aren't I? Did my flesh want to do it? We won't talk about that. But I knew what I was supposed to do. Matter of fact, I helped with what I could of it. Then I got somebody else involved that could fix the whole thing all the way and got them involved without my enemy even knowing. So that it got fixed totally. That's what God expects. It's not what I want to do. My flesh wanted to say, tough toenails, dude. But that's not how I reacted. I'm not super Christian. Believe me. You cut me, I bleed. You hit me, I hurt. I understand that. But God says a Christian, and to be a higher level Christian, when somebody hates you, love them. I said this before a little while ago, recently. I was at the grocery store and I saw somebody that doesn't like my stuff inside my skin, my internal organs. I said, good morning, how are you? They had a whole shopping cart full of food. Went, left their cart right in the middle of the aisle, turned around, walked out of the store. There was another older lady standing in the aisle and she just watched it all happen. She said, she just looked at me. I went, no, I took a shower this morning, and the poor lady just died. She said, that person must have had a really bad day. I said, yeah, I feel sorry for him, don't you? I didn't tell that lady that that person hated me. I didn't tell her why. Matter of fact, I had the other lady laughing about it, and it was okay. Why would I want to become like the person that just treated me that way? They're the person I feel sorry for. As they walked out, I thought, Lord, I'm sorry for them that they hurt that bad and they're that angry that they live that bitter. Mm-hmm. What a terrible way to live. I'm glad I don't have to go live like that. Amen. I'm glad I was able to reach my hand out and say, good morning, how are you? Whether they received it or not. It doesn't matter. Love your enemy. Number two. Okay, everybody doing okay? Take a deep breath. Take a sip of your coffee. Do whatever. Here it comes. Don't be a critic of your critics. When somebody criticizes us, it's real easy to get nasty and criticize them. We get mad at critics And we become critical of the critic. In other words, we become guilty of the same thing somebody else is doing. When somebody's critical of you, you know what you're supposed to do? Don't criticize them. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it amazing? We get mad at somebody who's critical, and then we go around talking about how bad that person is for being critical. In other words, we're criticizing the criticizer. We become just like our enemy. Can I tell you something? If somebody's criticizing you, I'm not going to walk up and say, "Oh, Brother Joe, I'm sorry. This week I heard somebody say something so bad." Well, keep your mouth shut. He doesn't want to hear about it, neither do I. it was your wife. But isn't it so like us that if Brother Stoltz hears that somebody said something bad about me, you know, the last thing I need is for him to come to me Sunday morning before church and say, "Preacher, I'm pulling for you. I know they're criticizing you out there. Do me a favor. Don't tell me." That's one reason I don't like social media. Everybody has the freedom to say whatever they want. And
please take this literally. I'm not for what they call, what is it, cyberbullying, but I laugh at the term. You have people that go out and commit suicide because somebody printed something on a stupid computer and put it on the internet. Can I tell you something? You don't have to read it. You look up my name, I'll promise you there's things written that shouldn't be written there. True or not? Isn't it amazing we believe whatever's on Facebook?
That's messed up.
We believe whatever's on Twitter? You believe the news? God have mercy. You can't even trust old Lion Lou. Amen? Let's face it. We want to believe something. How about those people believe the Word of God?
Amen.
Boy, you talk about getting people riled up. They want to believe the news, but they won't believe the Bible? Good night. The news is less accurate than the Quran, and that's pretty bad. Don't be critical of your critic. If somebody criticizes you, the whole world doesn't need to know somebody criticized you. And they don't need to know who it is for sure. Do you know I protect you by not telling you who my enemies are? They'll resurrect on their own. Don't worry about it. By the way, I'm protecting my enemy. I love my enemy enough not to criticize. I may use it as illustration, but my wife will tell you there's nobody in this world that I hate. Nobody. Maybe Hillary. Now, so I got to hurry. Love your enemies. Don't hate them. Don't be a critic of your critics. Number three, don't get negative with somebody who gets negative with you. Boy, would this solve a lot of arguments at home. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 26, verse number 5, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." Did you know you don't have to argue just because somebody disagrees with you? Just because you know you're right and they're wrong doesn't mean you have to argue about it. Isn't there a chance you aren't right? No. Okay. Isn't there a chance that person was sincere and didn't mean to be wrong? No, they meant to hurt me. Now you're playing God. When you start judging somebody's motive as to why they did something, you're not God knowing everybody's thoughts, knowing good and evil for yourself. So don't get negative with people who are negative. Did you know you don't have to read it? Did you know you don't have to listen to it even on the telephone? Amen. That's what that off button's for. Dink. I got a phone call this week from someone that really isn't a positive person. And honestly, probably is one of my enemies in some ways. I was tired. I was wore down. I'd been through spiritual war. I let it ring till it went to voicemail. To listen what it was. And if it was negative, I'd deal with it the next day. Fortunately, it was something I could jump in and help somebody with, and I did. I mean, within 2 minutes, I returned their call. But I decided if it was negative, I was waiting until I was strong enough to do it and not react in my flesh. Tell you why, because I wanted to throw my phone all the way across the street. I really wasn't wanting to listen to anything negative. And I had already determined when I listened to the voicemail, if it started negative, I had my finger ready on that little red off button. I was going to go dink because I didn't want to hear it. Say why? Because I had to have myself ready to face whatever negative it may be. Everybody doing okay? I didn't want to respond to that person negatively. Don't get negative with people that are negative. Boy, that's a good statement. Number four, I got to hurry. Don't do wrong to the wrongdoers. When someone does you wrong, don't do them wrong back. Oh, here back last September, our fourth anniversary Sunday, I walked out to my truck about 4:35 o'clock in the morning, and someone had written some pretty nasty four-letter words all over my truck. Vandalized it a bit. Say, what'd you do, preacher? Found a place that I could wash my truck early that morning and washed it off, came to church, had a good day. I was doing okay. I knew the devil was mad. That's all that mattered. Good thing is, my enemies don't know any words any bigger than four letters, so I was happy about that. You say, I literally sat in my truck and had that thought and started laughing about it. I did. I rolled the windows down so as I was driving to the church, nobody could read what was written all over my truck. I was glad there wasn't many people out at that hour. They threw eggs at it. They wrote all kinds of... I mean, it was decorative, let me tell you. I'm not going to search them out. Say, did you call the police? No. I don't know who did it. I prayed for them. Said, Lord, pretty bad when somebody hurts that bad and they're that bitter, they do that to somebody's truck. I'm glad it was mine and not somebody else's. I can take it. It's all right. Now, wait a minute. I'm not a super Christian, but the flesh always wants to lash back at those who do us wrong. I can't tell you that I felt that way all the time. While I was out there in my suit going where the power sprayer, I wasn't real happy. I thought, man, if I could catch somebody that did this. My flesh wanted to catch them. Everybody doing all right? But the spirit had to take dominance. Number five, God does not want us bitter with those who are bitter. Did you know for you to get bitter because somebody's bitter with you, that's not what God expects of us?
Yes,
sir. We get so upset at someone else's faults and sin, we don't realize our sin's as bad as their sin. Well, that person's just so bitter. I will never talk to that person again. They treated this person this way, and I wait a minute, you're as bitter as they are.
Preach it.
There's not a human being in the world I would not try to help. Now, I may not be going to lunch with them to help them, but I would help them. I'm not going to be angry at them. I better hurry up. Number six, we're not supposed to gossip about the gossipers. Isn't it amazing how you can get upset at gossip, but you tell everybody who the gossips are? Guess what? You're guilty of the same thing the gossip is. Everybody doing all right? I love this. We get upset at gossip, but we have no problem gossiping about the gossipers spreading the same very poison the gossipers were spreading. We formulate it. Baptists have gotten real creative. Y'all pray for so-and-so. They're having a tough time. Yeah, we spiritualized it into prayer request gossip. Gag. You'll notice I don't have a lot of public prayer requests because most of the time it turns into stuff that shouldn't be even talked about. And if you ever sat through one of those, and I grew up in a church that had Wednesday night prayer meeting. Preacher would preach for 20 minutes, And then you'd go through a list of, or before the preaching, you'd have a list of, you know, 40 people that were in the hospital with every disease and everything that they're going through. And then everybody's raising their hand, pray for my uncle, he's got, you know, AIDS, and pray for my aunt, she's got ingrown toenails. And you hear all this bad news. You walk out of church depressed. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know, and then you got somebody, they're real raw and real fresh, and they're talking about things they shouldn't talk about. They're talking about what kind of surgery this person's having. You know, just, they're having surgery. It doesn't matter what. We don't need to know what part they're working on, amen? And it gets really exciting, and sometimes, and what a wonderful way to depress yourself. Well, bless God, we got to know what everybody's needs are. Why? Just pray for them. I got to the point where I don't start with a lot of prayer requests. You say, why? Because I don't want to have a depressed service. And I'm not angry. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I kind of like the way things go around here. Yeah, Brother Wiley's hurting. His mama went to heaven about 10 days ago, and we're praying for them. Brother Roy was here this morning again. I was excited about that. Talked to him on the way out, and I said, you doing okay, buddy? He said, yeah. He said, still have some tough times. I said, you're going to have some tough times. Married to the same woman 48 years. Yeah, you're going to hurt. I said, just remember, we're here to help you. Amen. He said, I know. I know. He said, that's why I was here this morning. He said, I can make it. I said, good. That's us pulling together as family. But I'm not going to get up and talk about somebody's ingrown toenail and somebody's finger that got stuck in their nose and they cut their finger on a booger and everything else. Good Lord. I was talking about you, April. she got her whole hand up there, you know. Anyway, you know, Parker had tubes in his ears this week, and we talked about that. Brother Bob Kellerman was supposed to have AFib procedure done. They were going to stop his heart and shock it back and try to get it back in rhythm. He was down at the hospital in Winchester Wednesday morning. They hooked him all up, and the doctor said, there ain't nothing wrong with your heart. It's in rhythm. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, I do my preacher's praying. Sandy calls me. Matter of fact, I was at the hospital with y'all when Sandy called. And she was, preacher, preacher, preacher. You'll never guess. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, they're going to take him into heart surgery. No, no, no. That's what I was thinking in my flesh. No, it's all back in rhythm. They don't have to shock him. I said, that's no fun. No, I was happy. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to gossip about the gossipers. Number 7, I'll hurry. We're not to be unjust with those who are unjust. Ouch.
Oh boy.
Did you know sometimes our perception of justice is not right? Did you know? Let me bring it down to where we really live. Okay? I taught my boys, and I still believe this with every fiber of my body. No sports game is ever lost because of bad officiating. Ever. Say, well, I know a game where the ref made a bad call, and because of that, the other team got to score points, and the other team won. Can I tell you something? It's your team's fault that they let the game get that close before that call. Because I'll guarantee you there was another bad call going the other direction in that game too. Your perception of justice may not be as accurate as you think. It might be right on that one issue, but what about the other 30 calls during the game?
Yes.
Everybody doing all right? Yeah, that just hurt, didn't it? I'm guilty of it. I'm ready to yell at umpires faster than anybody. I love baseball. I think baseball. It's March. You cut me, it's going to come out with little baseballs. Pitchers are already at spring training. I got the itch. I love it. Did you know I understand baseball pretty well? But guess what? It's a game. Never changed anybody's life for the good. We want to get unjust with people that treat us unjustly. Remember the fellow that stole our church van? Guy stole our church van out of the church parking lot, smashed the window, used it in 10 different robberies, three police chases through two different counties in West Virginia and one county in Virginia, and then crashed it into a telephone pole and got out and ran away from the police. Thank God thieves are stupid, and he left his wallet in the van. Alcohol bottles in there, bottles of gasoline and all kinds of small equipment and everything else in there. What a mess. Totaled the van. I mean, literally totaled the van. Well, this guy faced jail time. He was in jail for a couple years, all told. I told the prosecuting attorney, I want the man to pay what is just, but I don't want him to pay with the rest of his life. It's not a life sentence. Whatever the court comes up with, I'm good with. I had to go to court a couple different times. I was sitting in court here in Berkeley County, and the guy had a lawyer that I don't think he ever got past third grade. I'm not kidding. They said, well, we have no proof that my client was in that van. And the prosecutor says, Judge, his wallet with his driver's license and ID was in there. And the other attorney said, that just proves his wallet was there, not him. I couldn't help it. I laughed. I was sitting in the little box there beside the judge and went, I caught myself doing it. I did. I laughed out loud. And the judge looked at me and I thought, I shouldn't have done that. But then the guy, the other attorney, he was trying to put me to put the screws on me. And I thought, this guy, good night. My daughter could do a better job than this. He said, now, did you have surveillance cameras? I said, not then, but I do now. And the judge went, twice. I got the judge laughing. I got done. I said, I hope I didn't do things the wrong way. And the police officers and the assistant prosecuting attorney for Berkeley County were there, and they walked over to me and said, that's the first time we've ever seen the judge laugh, and you got him to do it twice. You did so good. It was hilarious. Now, wait a minute. The judge asked me, did you want to let drop all charges? I said, no. The guy's face dropped. You know, have a Baptist preacher tell you don't drop charges. He had no chance of getting out of jail at that moment then. I said, it's not right, it's not just for him to walk away with no punishment. I said, I don't think the man should pay with his life, but I think he ought to pay what the law says he should pay. I said, it's not fair to the people he stole from and my church people whose money he stole by stealing the van that he not pay for it. You ought to have seen that other attorney. Put his head down. Now, wait a minute. I wasn't being mean. That's just. I didn't set what the punishment was. I didn't ask for any certain punishment. I just asked that he be punished as the law decided. That's all I asked for. In conclusion, let me give you a couple statements here. God doesn't want us to become like those who oppose us or him. He very clearly shows us in his word what he wants and how he expects us to react. We are not God. Do we even have the ability to judge somebody's motive? Can I tell you something? Be careful judging somebody's motive. Yep. Well, I know why they're doing that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Well, this person did it, and they're doing it because of this. You might think that, but you don't know that. You're not going to like this statement. Do you know that my opposers are just as sincere as I am? My enemy is just as sincere as I am. They may be sincerely wrong and not have the facts straight, but they're just as sincere about it. Most of my enemies are good people. They're just led going a wrong direction. Why should I judge their motive? Well, they should know better, but they don't. Why should I judge that? Maybe they don't know better. Number next, we're not God to even know all of the facts to make a decision about right and wrong for someone else. Let me give you some parenting advice. Quit listening to what everybody says. Listen to what God says.
Amen.
Because everybody has different children. Did you know the same parenting advice didn't work on all three of my children? Bits and pieces of it did, but I got three totally different kids. Good night. I got one. You could beat him till he turned purple and he'd turn around and do it again. I got one. You looked at him the wrong way and he was broke. I got another one. All I had to do is lift my voice and look at him and say, I'm disappointed in you. And they'd rather take the beating. They didn't want to hear that. All three of them were different. Just because you handle one way doesn't mean they're all that way. If you didn't notice, they're all different. So we're not God. We don't know all the facts. You might think you know all the facts, but you don't know all the facts.
That is true.
I don't want to lower myself or lower God to become like my enemy or my opposer. So I would like to react the way God tells me I should react. So if somebody hates me, I'll love them. If I have somebody that wants to be my enemy, I'll be their friend. If I have somebody that wants to sue me, I'll give them more than what they ask for. If I have somebody that forces me into a situation where I must help them, I'll give them everything I got and then some. Why don't we decide that we're not going to be like our opposition? How about we decide we're going to act the way God does instead of the way we want to act in our flesh? Somebody gossips about me. Bless God, I'm going to print it all over the place. Well, you're as low as they are at that moment. Well, this person did this to me, and I'm going to make sure everybody in the country knows about this. That's not spiritual. Not at all. Let's not be guilty of being like our enemies as we respond to them. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't have to ask if this affected you. It does. It affects every person in this room.